this is normally the part where I would say hello and welcome back to another episode of De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football. However, this is not an episode of De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football. This is De Stefano Talks, but it's Scottish football covered. What I mean by that, effectively, if you've been a listener to the podcast for the longest time, since we started way back in 2019, we're looking at reshuffling things here on the podcast. That means that De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football, is still going to be a thing in terms of every single Monday on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. You will hear myself, Finlay, Mac, Robbie and Archie discuss all things Scottish football. However, it will be under the banner of Scottish football covered. De Stefano Talks is going to revert back to the original idea of De Stefano Talks, where I speak to guests one-on-one and sort of capture podcasts around and interviews around what they do or their life in general. That's the way this is going to work. So without making this too long and boring the life out of you, welcome to the first episode of Scottish Football Covered, and I will let future Stefan do the rest. Hello and welcome to Scottish Football Covered. I am Stefan, tonight joined by Finlay and Mac. Finlay, how you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Just back from a weekend of consecutive football matches, so, you know, can't really complain. Just very excited to talk about it all.
You enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, I've loved it. I mean, the snow was a pain in the ass, but it was gorgeous driving through. And today, a little bit chilly. But again, just there's nothing really better to do than spend your weekend watching football, is there?
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen your Instagram story of you being on like the motorway, and it didn't look too appetizing. So, fair play for getting that done. Mac, how you doing?
I'm good, Stefan. It's been a good weekend. Better for some people than others, which we'll get into this weekend. But this, I'm enjoying the snow. Starting to feel like Christmas now.
Absolutely. It's been a whirlwind weekend of action in the Scottish Premiership. All six matches, all 12 teams playing on one day. It was nice to just get it done on a Saturday and allowed everyone to really chill in and watch the boring, dull games in the English Premier League. Unless you're a Liverpool fan, and then you probably got a little bit of late excitement down in Southampton. But yes, I digress from talking about that game, and we'll focus more on the important brand of football, which is Scottish football. Massive weekend in Scotland. Massive results for St Mirren, and a poor result for Hibs. Let's start off in the capital, though, and we will start with Hearts versus Celtic. It was a late kickoff. It was a 7:45 television pick that saw Celtic run out 4-1 winners versus Heart of Midlothian. Mac, overall, what did you think of the game?
It was a brilliant performance. I think Hearts, surprisingly, they looked the better side the first half. I think Neil Critchley set them up very well. Brendan Rodgers alluded to that in his post-match. But you've just got to take your chances against Celtic. We saw it at Rugby Park. Kilmarnock, they weren't able to score. Same with Hearts, the big chance for Spittle, that was the biggest one. Shankland never had his best day. And then if you don't take your chances against Celtic, they'll punish you, and they did in the second half. I don't think it can be overstated how important a victory that is for Celtic going to Tynecastle when both your league rivals have already dropped points. They had to win, and they did a mark on, they certainly done that.
Yeah, a couple of points that you alluded to. Hearts obviously did start the game very well. Neil Critchley wanted his team to go to war. They certainly did that for the first half. And Again, Celtic had to come out and show resilience. They did it against Kilmarnock at Rugby Park before the international break. They certainly did it last night. It became rather emphatic. Some people made the statement that, it wasn't really a 4-1 game, but I think when you look at a team of Celtic's quality, they still had levels to go up, and they could have been far more scintillating than they were. Finlay, what about yourself? What did you think?
I think 4-1 didn't do Celtic kind of or Hearts, sorry, any injustice. I think that was a correct scoreline. I think the first half, testament, credit due to Hearts, they played really well. But that nil-nil in the first half was the result of some of the best football they've played this season, and they got maybe one clear-cut chance. The one that Mac brought up, like Spittle. But Celtic kept them out. And then eventually, for all their efforts, they just got worn down. And then Celtic just started to pick them off. They just looked way too good. And Shankland, you mentioned not his best night. I don't think he's had a good night all season. I think there's something chronically wrong with him at the moment. But yeah, I think Celtic just did what champions do, and that's just get it done, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you talk about Blair Spittle's chance and the opening moments of the game. If he slots that beyond Kasper Schmeichel, it's a totally different game. Hearts are, we're on the front foot. Then Celtic obviously have to rise up and up their levels because they did start off pretty slow. But then you look at the other Hearts chances. It could have been a totally different game had they sort of taking those chances. And the Shankland one was, if you look at that last season, that's in the back of the net and there's absolutely no stopping it. But as you alluded to, there is something wrong with Shankland. It's not as if you can just put it down to one bad game or a night off. It's been a season of night offs for Lauren Shankland, and in big games where he usually shows up, the lights were off and everyone had gone to bed by the seams of it. Nicholas Coon, for as good as Craig Gordon is, that finish was just electric. It was a thunderbolt, and I've seen some tweets that suggest that Craig Gordon should do better. I happen to disagree with that. I don't think he could do better. I don't think there's anything more that Craig Gordon could have done other than obviously stop the shot, but I just don't think there was any stopping the shot. Mac, what do you think?
No, absolutely, I agree with you. I think the ball from Maeda, first of all, I think he should have probably played in Maeda a bit earlier. He looked like he was through and goal, but then the ball back to him from Maeda just maybe went out a bit too wide. So it's it for Kuhn to get the ball back in the position he did. Everybody's expecting him to just, I think, zip it back across or go to the far corner. I certainly never expected him to hit the near post and hit the top left. And the zip he got in the shot, Craig Gordon was never had any chance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The pass from Maeda wasn't the greatest. The touch from Kuhn was just expert. He it was into a horrible position, and within one touch, he was back on the straight path. And seconds later, milliseconds later, the ball's in the back of the net. What about yourself, Finlay? What do you think? Could Craig Gordon have done better there?
Oh, maybe if he'd had steel rods in his arms, that was a thunderous shot. And I think it's testament, I'm going to use that word again, to the progress Nicholas Kuhn has made. I thought last season he was a bit of a dud, and I was very wrong because he's, even on a night like this where you thought he's not really playing the best football we've seen all season, just out of nowhere can turn it on. And I think that's the mark of a player. It's just like a class above in this league. I don't really know. I don't think Craig Gordon could have done anything about it. And I think he was actually one of Hearts' best players in that night.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. For me, when Nicholas Coon joined Celtic last January, he certainly wasn't the player he is just now. But I always did think, whenever had the chance to see him play, I always thought, do you know what? There is a player in there. This season, since pre-season, he's just been utterly electric. And I seen a stat that's, I think he's a goal and assist away from matching Jota's first season at Celtic. We've literally not even opened the first advent calendar, or the first door on an advent calendars for the year, and he's already producing performances like that. I think it's just a testament to what a player he wants to be for Celtic. You speak about Craig Gordon, you don't think there's anything he can do about it. You thought he had a lot of chances where he kept Hearts in the game with a lot of great saves. He still has it, doesn't he? He's what, 42 on New Year's Eve, and he's still producing saves like he was back in his prime in his, his 30s, and it's just incredible to see. Do you agree with that, Finlay?
Oh, definitely. I think at every stage, I remember he had a horrific time with injury when he was at Sunderland. Big deal. 9 million at the time was about the biggest ever fee for a goalkeeper, at least in the UK. And every time he had an injury or a setback, you thought, that's him done. And that's been, let's say, nearly 13 years. Every time he's had a moment where you think, oh, he's done again. He went to Celtic and that wound down. You thought, well, that's the end of Craig Gordon's career. Then he went back to Hearts and Xander Clarke was there, and you thought, oh, that's him done. And look at him now. He's just come off two fantastic games for Scotland and he's prevented, let's say, maybe a six or seven goals conceded against Celtic. I think he's arguably not looked better in more than a decade.
Yeah, he hasn't found form. Mac, what about yourself?
Yeah, we spoke about it last week as well, how good he was for Scotland. And then, not to repeat too much what Finlay said, but again, as I think I said last week, it's the best he's looked as I can remember. And it's a position which Hearts, the state of their season, they need a strong goalkeeper. And Craig Gordon, he's not just a strong goalkeeper, I imagine he's a leader in the dressing room. I think he's a Hearts fan growing up as well, so they need a character like him. And the crunch, well, it's not quite the crunch end of the season yet, but they're a bit perilous start to the season. So he'll be big on and off the pitch, I believe.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about it as it's a might not be the crunch part of the season, but it's a crunching moment in the season because other teams have started to drift away from the bottom two. Hibs on 8 points, Hearts on 9 points. The bigger picture for Hearts here really is the relegation battle has started with Kilmarnock, ebbing away. They lost this weekend, but they're still 3 points clear of Hearts. A couple of them. More bad results and the two Edinburgh sides are going to find themselves in a far more precarious position than they're already in. Do you think Hearts are, do you think, I guess the question would be, do you think Hearts will be in this relegation battle all season long, or do you think they can find their way out of it, Mac?
I don't think they have to worry about relegation. I think John Robertson made a good point post-match. All the teams around them yesterday got points beside Tibbs, but I just think there's too much quality in that Hearts side to see them down there. The ship may have sailed for top six. They might just sneak in before the split, but in terms of going down in the relegation playoff, I don't have anything to worry about. But they do have to start showing the strength that they have sooner rather than later.
What about yourself, Finlay?
I'd say they've got a couple of issues to sort out, but I don't know if either of you disagree. I think those are issues that can be solved maybe in January. And I'm not saying just bring anyone in, but I mean, I don't know if you heard Vargas's comments about the state of Scottish football. I thought that was a bit rich from someone who has struggled, I mean, in my eyes, to kind of replace Shankland's goals, who's had every opportunity up front, but has never really delivered. But players like that, I would put them out the door. And if Shankland isn't going to find his form, it helps to have someone else with him to kind of pick up the pieces. And I think they desperately need that in January. And I think with that, the way they're playing, the way they look, I think they could do a job. I think Mac is maybe right. Top six is a stretch, but they can put themselves away from the playoff place, I think.
I think you're right in what you say about Vargas. As he didn't exactly make any impact when he came on last night, and I think he struggled to keep most of his shots straight and on target. So, for his comments about the state of Scottish football and wanting to face a high level or a higher level of opponent. I just, I don't know. It's a little bit funny to me. I don't know what you think, Mac.
It's a bit tiresome, isn't it, when people just come over, think it's going to be an easy ride for them, and then mouth off, even though they've committed, done absolutely nothing. I remember, I think there's this chance up at Aberdeen is before the comments came out, but he was 1-1 and puts over Chai's chips out, it goes over the bar, and then a week later he's lambasting the league. It's a bit, you get used to it, but then it's just people, it's just the same character to play, make themselves look like a fool.
Well, I mean, you look at the caliber of player that's came up to Scotland, Joey Barton, Nico Cranchar, Shane Duffy. It's a league that has, passed these players by. They've just not coped with it in any shape or form. So when someone like Kenneth Vargas, a relatively unknown player, has the gall to criticise this, caliber of Scottish football, as I say, I just think that's a little bit rich. But I digress. Let's move our attention to the other side of Glasgow. Rangers took on Dundee United. It ended in a 1-1 draw at Ibrox. Kickoff was delayed because of, I think, the Dundee United team bus arrived at Ibrox at roughly about 3 o'clock due to the snowfall overnight. A pretty damp in performance to forget for Rangers. Would you agree with that, Finlay?
Yeah, just a difficult evening overall. I mean, you thought the way Jim Goodwin was speaking during the week, talking about getting in their heads, you wouldn't have said that unless you felt you had a pretty good chance of getting something out of that game. Because, say you come out with something like that and then you get thumped 5-0, then you look like an idiot. I always got the impression leading up to the game that Rangers, for all the talk, they looked vulnerable. And I think Dundee United troubled them to no end. And the goal they conceded was shocking. I mean, when you're already that far back in the table, and then you put on displays in Europe that make people think, oh, actually, there's something there, to come out and completely leave like a player unmarked, it's just like it's amateurish defending. Someone would call you out on that in a five-a-side game, let alone the Scottish Premiership. I thought it was embarrassing. But to be fair, Dundee United, they played really well and they deserved at least a point from that.
What about yourself, Mac?
Yeah, I think Dundee United deserved a point based on the goalkeeper alone. Walton made an absolute series of ridiculous saves. But then again, some of the efforts Rangers were having were just, they were literally sort of pot shots for outside the goal that invites the camera saves. So I think Rangers just have to be a bit more smart in their play going forward. You see that with the goal, Czerny, it's a tidy finish, a nice wee move, and then they move. So Czerny's been one of the highlights in the kind of dark this dark time Rangers are going through. But it's just, you're not even surprised at Rangers dropping points at home with United. You're not even surprised in the slightest. So it is troubling. And a bit like Hearts, you don't know, has the ship sailed for a title already? Has the ship sailed for top six for Hearts already? This early in the season, it was saying that about Hearts and Rangers is mental.
Yeah, it's been a torrid start to the season for Rangers. It's not been great for them as a club. It's not been great for the manager, the team, the fans. Yesterday's weather really summed up how Rangers have been. Just the weather was terrible, and I never like to look at conditions like that in itself play a factor in the game at all. But yeah, it was a laboured performance. I would say Dundee United hot on the heels of Rangers, well deserving of a draw. Unlucky not to get the 3 points. Czerny absolutely rescued Rangers, and probably saved Philippe Clement's job a little bit, because I think if Dundee United had have won that game and gone level on points with Rangers, as well as having the potential to be 11 points behind, or even 12 points if Dundee United had a one behind Celtic, it wouldn't have, it would have been an absolutely horrific day for the club in general. Do you think Philippe Clement is on the brink, Finlay?
No, luckily for him, he can keep his job because the club can't afford to sack him, I reckon. Otherwise, why would he still be there? There are plenty, you know, it's not, I don't have a list at hand, but you can imagine there's a number of managers who'd love to take up this job. It's a prestigious like position to hold. I just think that the real reason him and his staff are still there is because Rangers can't afford it. They can't afford new players, and I don't think they can afford to get rid of him.
No, that's an absolutely fair point. Mac, what about yourself? What do you think?
I know what Finlay's saying with the precarious finances at Rangers, which have troubled them so much over the years, but I do think fan pressure at a club the size of Rangers speaks louder than anything. He's already having to win over a large section of the fans, well, maybe not a large section, but quite a lot. I reckon he's got to the cup final if he can make it to the cup final, and that could be the final nail in the coffin. Because then it would be Celtic overtaking them in the trophy hall as well, which is another problem Rangers fans probably can't bear writing about.
Both teams on a 118 major trophies each. You know, the cup final I think is going to be the make or break for Philippe Clement. In this current vein of form for Celtic, they'll be relishing that cup final. Rangers, you would think they're, you know, it's one you want to avoid. It's that upcoming dentist appointment that you don't want to go to because you've got a, you know, bad toothache. It is one of them. The biggest thing for me, taken away from that game last night, was the omission of Captain James Tavernier. What do we think's going on at play there, Finlay?
I'd say just there's maybe a mix of poor form. He's not looked anything like himself last season, but there could be an element of protection. I think some of the abuse he's got is definitely out of proportion. And Casemiro got injured. You'd think maybe there's a space for him, but I think there's a mix of both. He's definitely suffering. And I know Philippe Clement in the past has mentioned, you know, fans don't know the whole story. There could be something more to Tavernier's omission.
What about yourself, Mac? Was it the right call to omit your captain from the game? And even more so, do you think he could be a player that could be off in January?
It is the right call. I remember Celtic nil winning, doing it with Scott Brown that COVID season. It is the right call. If you're not playing well enough, nobody's bigger than the club. You've got to be dropped. Can't rest on your laurels. In terms of an exit in January, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me. Is Conor Goldson was in the press backing him up this week, and the general reaction to that seems as if Rangers fans are just desperate to see the back of James Tavernier, just like they did with Conor Goldson towards the end of his time. So, and then you saw what was it, the video was after, I think it was after the Celtic game, where the fan confronted them going out of the bus. It's a sour end to what has been. Has it been a good enough career? I'm going off on a tangent. That's a question for another day, but I think it wouldn't surprise me if we left in January.
Well, I mean, I think it's a fair point. How many trophies, major honours, has James Tavernier picked up in his time at Rangers? A league, a Scottish Cup, and a Scottish League Cup. Like, for a player that's been there that length of time, but I mean, it's subjective. People will make up their own minds around it. But I think it's a valid point that you make. Okay, let's turn our attention to another game that kicked off quite late because of Storm Bert. St Mirren versus Aberdeen. Finlay, get into this one. What was your thoughts on you know, how did you think the game was going to go?
To be honest, I thought Aberdeen would sneak away with the 3 points. I think like, there was definitely no reason to think that they would struggle here. Nothing to do with fatigue or injuries. I think Jimmy Tillien just discovered what most managers in the league have now, and that is how difficult it is to play in Paisley. Even for the best teams, say Celtic, you know, Rangers in the previous years, going there has always been like just a stressful exercise, and coming away from it with 3 points is just, it's almost like getting six, I would say. And so he's got his first bloody nose, I would say. But yeah, St Mirren looked very impressive.
Mac, what were your thoughts going into the game? Do you think it was a game Aberdeen could have won, or do you think that sort of Smaiza hoodoo hung over them a little bit?
I said I don't make predictions last week, which is a shame because I did say Aberdeen would drop points. I never really, I'll be honest, I never thought they'd lose, but I did expect them to drop points in some capacity. I think subconsciously, I just really kind of thought they've not got a good record there. I think the guy in sports scene backed me up with that. So maybe that was just in the back of my mind subconsciously. But then, okay, that's St Mirren. They make St Mirren, Smisa, a hard place to go for any team. I think Finlay just said that. So just shows you, I maybe they need Aberdeen just need to wait and for Gay to come back for injury. I think they were missing that sort of threat. They did have a lot of chances and it was a bit of a sucker punch for them towards the end, but it's just they need more quality to take their chances if you want to compete at this end of the table.
Yeah, I think the last positive result Aberdeen got there was back in 2020 when Sam Cosgrove and Lewis Ferguson picked up the 3 points for Aberdeen, because Smaiza has not been a it's not been a happy hunting ground for Aberdeen as of late. I think getting into the game, I kind of always thought Aberdeen have performed really well this season. The only team they've dropped points to in the league was Celtic. The only team that they've lost to is Celtic, so every other team really, in basis of form, Aberdeen, arguably should and could, well, could and should put them to the sword. But St Mirren just offered up a totally different narrative, and they wrote their own story against Jimmy Tilleen's men. And you look at players like Olesunya, he gave the centre back pairing of Ribasic and Malloy an absolutely torrid time. How key is Olesunya been for Stephen Robinson, Finlay?
Incredibly, like Stephen Robinson's football relies a lot on it's not structured but always takes advantage of moments where play is chaos, very frenetic, the ball bobbing up and down. That's the moment where St Mirren come alive, is there's a long ball in there, someone runs in behind, or there's the bobble of the ball. They've always got someone to finish it off. It's not beautiful, but players like Olesanya with their kind of energy and the way they always attack the ball and attack defenders, he's been so important, which is why it's so kind of, I mean, actually, no, maybe I exaggerate. It's not so worrying that he's refusing to sign a new contract, but it will be disappointing for Stephen Robinson, who's trying to build a side that's minimum top six every year, and losing a player like that for free is going to be a huge disappointment because there's definitely some money to be made off him. I don't know where he's going to go. I don't think there have been any rumors about that, but a big it would be a big loss, I think, for St. Mirren.
No, that's absolutely fair. He put St Mirren one up against Aberdeen. A couple of minutes later, Alex Gogic was, well, looked to be sent off by referee John Beaton. VAR overturned it. The challenge was then downgraded from a red to a yellow. After seeing the replay of that one and seeing the fact that Gogic took the ball, I don't understand what John Beaton saw. I think in the times where VAR gets its criticisms, this is one moment where we have to give VAR its praise, because it really overturned a horrendous decision. Finlay, what do you think?
Yeah, no, completely right. Overturned a horendous decision. Got the ball cleanly. I suppose the yellow, in retrospect, was for flying in. There's always like potential of danger is always a factor in awarding cards. But yeah, definitely not a red. Just one of those Steven like Gogic moments where you're just very impressed all the time by him at the back. Such an important part of that team. And I don't know what. You know, you both watch a lot of football and even live football. There's always that moment where the referee comes bursting towards a player with a red in hand, and you think the ref's been waiting to do that. It seems almost like before the challenge is even over, ref's got their hand in the pocket, and you think it's been coming. It didn't matter who for, but there's a red that's been coming, and it was, I don't know, definitely unfair. I'm glad it got sorted though.
What about yourself, Mac? Finlay spoke about perhaps he did the yellow got or the red got downgraded to yellow for Gogic flying in. Do you think it was the right call?
No, I don't think it was the right call because I don't think it was a yellow card. He comes in, gets the ball. Maybe I'm a bit old school. I know there's a bit of pace in the challenge, but I think he just wins the ball. It is a hard challenge, but he wins the ball. That is a clean tackle. So I still think even after viewing it on a, I think viewing it that many times, I think John Beaton just out of embarrassment didn't want to say it wasn't a foul at all after getting it a red card. That's my opinion. That's my take on it.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think it was never a card level challenge. There was a little bit of speed in it, but I think when you strip all that back, he's taking the ball. He's not taking any of the man. There's no endangering to an opponent there. I don't know what John Beaton saw. It was a hopeless decision. I think you're right. Maybe he just felt like he had to. If he had to downgrade it, then he was going to just downgrade it to yellow and sort of save a little bit of face there. But when you see the replays here, you have to think to yourself in the immediate action, the immediate moment, what did you see? Both Aberdeen and Rangers dropped points on this weekend. Massive sort of turning point for the season, how that looks in the top three in the race for the title. Let's switch our gears now to a little bit further down the table. It was Ross County versus Motherwell. Motherwell, in the morning of the match, advised their fans not to travel up the A9 because of treacherous conditions. I think Motherwell and the match officials went up to Dingwall on the Friday night.
It was a strong 3 points for Ross County. I think, but Don Cowie is then he's making Ross County quite a hard place to go. Mentioned it with Stephen Robinson in this Smeeser, whatever we call St Mirren Stadium these days. I'll just stick to calling it Love Street, even though they moved away from it a long time ago. But Conor Hale, he's been a brilliant signing. I think it was for Cliftonville in the Irish League. It's just you wonder if he keeps it up, where's he gonna go? I don't think he's no obviously. Think he'll go to, excuse me. Think he'll go to Celtic. And I also think he'll go to Rangers for personal reasons. But then maybe I think he's a sort of striker Aberdeen could go. I mentioned earlier Aberdeen their firepower, but they need somebody to take their chances. Maybe Conor Hale. Maybe not in January, but in the next season if he keeps us up, I wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, he's been a really strong player for Ross County this season. Scored some good goals, some impactful goals. Motherwell, on the other hand, didn't really seem like they turned up. It wasn't until they were 2-0 down that they managed to get a goal back through Zach Robinson. Bit of a tough shift for Motherwell then, Mac. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit toothless for Motherwell. You do expect better for, especially for a top six team. Maybe just I don't even know. Don't know what they could have done better. Just maybe caught them on an off day.
Yeah, they've had a good season, Motherwell. You see where they are on the table. They're sitting in fifth. They're on 19 points. They're not in a positive or a negative goal difference spot. They're on zero. But it wasn't the Motherwell performance that we've sort of came to see from them. Some of their main players just didn't really look a fraction of what we recognise them to be. I think it was Lennon Miller that took the free kick, and obviously Robinson got on the end of it. But yeah, just really wasn't that level of Motherwell performance that maybe we've become accustomed to seeing. A massive win for Ross County in the end. Finlay, I guess for you, where do you see Ross County towards the end of the year? Do you think they can make and break into the top six?
Realistically, I mean, it'd be honest if you predicted Ross County to finish in the bottom two again this season, but they've actually really surprised me. I know they only have 3 wins in 14, but every game is so difficult with only 12 teams in it. I think they'll do well to finish outside the bottom two. I expect Hearts to definitely pick up pace, and I reckon Dundee and St Johnstone will be back towards the bottom. I think they would do well to finish 10th and above and maybe build from there. If they can keep Hale, and Mac is absolutely right, what a player. I don't know where he fits in necessarily at a team like Aberdeen. I see him more if they can't get their hands on Sam Dalby on a permanent basis at Dundee United. But to avoid a relegation playoff is a good starting point and a good place to build on.
Well, you look at the games that Ross County have got coming up. They've got Celtic away, they've got Rangers at home, they've got Hibs away, St Mirren at home, Dundee away, Hearts at home, Aberdeen away, and Kilmarnock. Well, we'll forget those two. Up until Hearts at home, those are the next sort of six fixtures that Ross County have got to navigate. It'll be a bit of it'll be a bit of a tough ask, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I
Matt.
thought. Oh, sorry, go on.
No, it's all good. You just say it. It's fine.
No, I think you're right. It is difficult. They've just got to kind of avoid injuries to players like Hale. Just keep things together. They did really well to replace Simon Murray, who's actually, I'd say, a big reason why Dundee is sat ahead of them in the table. But if they can kind of come through this period unscathed, I think. Once things calm down in January, when they keep their confidence intact, they've got a good chance of kind of pushing on from there.
Okay, let's go and move on to a game that many didn't predict or wouldn't see Dundee walking out with all 3 points. Dundee 4, Hibernian 1. Hibs took the lead through Cadden. Jordan Obita got sent off, and then from that point on, Dundee just took complete control of the game and really just, they could have hit Hibs for anything. The Jordan Obita challenge. What did you think of it? Was it the correct decision?
This is an occasion the referee got it right. I think there's no much malice in the tackle, but it does catch him above the ball in a dangerous part of his leg. So it's always going to be difficult when you go down to 10 men. Just epitomises the luck David Gray's having. You go, it takes nearly the way to Dundee, then what, 10 minutes later, your left back gets sent off. So that was just the start of the architects of their own downfall, which I think they have a couple of times under the season been as well.
Yeah, I think you could really say that's Hibs' season in a nutshell, is they are the architects of their own downfall. Is it a mentality issue that Hibs have, Finlay? You look at Elie Youan when Obita sent off, rather than going over and speaking to his team and speaking to his manager about what's the plan, how do we set up from here, you can see standing about doing keepy up as he's messing around with the ball, and a bit of bewilderment from both sets of players. Is that a massive part of what's gone wrong at Hibs? Is just they don't have the mentality?
Yes, in a way, but I think mentality is something that players can often get off of a manager, and even beyond that, the structure of a club. If you feel like a club is lost at sea, you're hardly going to want to buy into it. Especially, I reckon a player like Yuan is maybe thinking about where he can be next. He's not got the commitment to the club that some of the other players would, and doesn't have to. Footballers are. They don't necessarily have to have a love of a club. What they are essentially are contractors. Could he have done more with that? It's more of an image thing. When fans are on your back and demanding more, at least pretend to be busy, I would say. If they were winning and things were going well, people would say in the video of that, like if Mo Salah does that, people share that and go, oh, Mo Salah, what a guy. He's so relaxed. But because things are going so badly, a lot of the way you deal with that, or at least get the pressure off, is PR. Definitely a bit of a mistake on his part.
What about yourself, Mac? Is that a mentality problem?
As a mentality problem, I don't know if it's for the whole team or just Yuan in particular, because I remember there was a video that kind of surfaced online. He was arguing with the fans after a game. I think maybe at that point, he might have just, usually it's the fans lose faith in a player, maybe he's just lost faith and the fans and in the team, and he's just mentally checked out.
No, I think that's fair. I remember when I seen the clip, I was like, wow, it's a bit worrying that. But also, I think you make the great point, Finlay, is if that's a player or a higher caliber player like Mo Salah that does it, people wouldn't react to it the same. I guess it's just circumstances sort of dictate the reaction. Massive win for Dundee in the end, takes them into a really good position in the table. Another win added to the belt of Tony Docherty. They're 3 points off of top six now, in a really good position. Let's move on to our final game, which saw St Johnstone run out 1-0 winners against Kilmarnock. Unbelievable goal that put the Saints up 1-0. Really, Kilmarnock just had I don't know. They just didn't seem. It wasn't the same performance that they had against Celtic. It just seemed a little bit more laboured than it did then. And then, Liam Donnelly gets sent off again, and it's the sixth time this season that Kelly have saw red. Is there a disciplinary issue going on at Kelly, Finlay?
Yeah, definitely. Just, Derek McInnes afterwards spoke about he didn't necessarily think the first yellow card was yellow, but he acknowledged that from that point, when you've got that first yellow, you have to be smart. And Donnelly just wasn't. It was such a stupid thing to do, especially when you're chasing a game. You're now three defeats in a row. You just have to keep your head a bit. It's more. The discipline and composure kind of go hand in hand. And I don't necessarily know if Derek McInnes hasn't solved it 14 games in, or 13 actually, for Kilmarnock. I don't know how he will.
No, I think that's a fair point. What about yourself, Mac? Disciplinary problem, or is it just an issue with certain players?
A bit of both. I've had six red cards this season, but then Wright had two of them. And then this is Donnelly second. So that's only three players. Oh, I hope that's only three players that I look stupid. They've been getting sent off. Maybe it's four. But anyway, but I think Liam Donnelly shouldn't even have been playing today. I think he should have got sent off against Celtic before the international break. But he's attempted the elbow on Schmeichel. So I think there's a definitely an issue just with him. But then also it goes further than that. Six red cards. You're in November. It's unprecedented. I've never heard anything like it.
Yeah, it's pretty mad when you hear the fact that we are only in November and Kelly have already had six, red cards in the season. I do again agree with you, Mac, on I think Donnelly was lucky to be on the park yesterday after that elbow or attempted elbow in the face of Kasper Schmeichel. Again, Finlay, going back to your point, Derek McInnes wants his players to be smarter when they're on a red on a yellow card, but Liam Donnelly just, it's as if he didn't take or heed any notice of Derek McInnes's warning and its, impacts on the team, because at that point in the game when he gets sent off, Kilmarnock are trying, their hardest to get something out of the game, and that just makes that job a little bit harder. Were St Johnstone worthy of the win? You were up there live. What did you think?
Live and absolutely freezing. Yeah, totally. And I wanted to make this point was we can talk about the 10 men, but 11 men, Kilmarnock didn't look like scoring. St Johnstone didn't. It's not that they were all over them, but just they found a way to control games. And I just think they looked really impressive. I think having Mackenzie Kirk score was so important because it just shows, and this is what Aberdeen have impressed me with, is the number of potential goal scorers. To have Sidibe, he was on the bench. You have Kimpioka, Kirk, Nicky Clark, all these people, like all these players can contribute goals. And that's so important, especially in the run-up of games that we've talked about. Everyone's going to have a congested calendar. If Shanklin goes down for Hearts, for example, or maybe even Sam Darby goes down for United, what happens to them during that run? St. Johnstone having that problem less and less, the more these kind of fringe players kind of perform on the night. So I've been very impressed by them. And I would say they, if they can kind of keep going in the same vein of form, they are a bit of a mini Aberdeen in my eyes. But
All right. Well, we have covered all the weekend's action in Scottish football, which is what we were here to do. What we're going to do quickly is we're going to look ahead to Europe. Celtic take on Club Brugge, or Bruges, as some people will say, but I'm going to stick with Club Brugge. After a strong performance against Leipzig, and even for Club Brugge, their result against Aston Villa, maybe not an easy tie that a lot of people maybe expected to be, Mac.
no, definitely not. Don't get any easy games in the Champions League, as the saying goes. But then Club Brugge, I'll say Brugge since you're saying Brugge, they just won 7-0. I know Celtic have been good in the form, but you've saw Brugge in the Champions League already. It's not going to be easy. I think people may have, Celtic fans may sleepwalk at this with a false sense of confidence. It would be interesting to see what sort of result they get, what sort of Celtic turn up. This is a team that's played Leipzig off the park. We also got pumped 7-1 off Dortmund. So, but I think the Celtic Park atmosphere, I think Celtic are just going to edge it.
Quickly for yourself, what do you predict?
I mean, Celtic should expect a result here. We're talking about every year progressing in Europe. I don't think the Leipzig like win will be enough for them to show that they are a much better team in Europe than they were last season. But definitely don't underestimate. I'm going to go with Mike here, Club Brugge, because they are full of players that in 2 3 years' time you'll see at much bigger clubs. It's just that they're still in the kind of early days of their career, but definitely a dangerous proposition.
Well, I hate to say this, it is Club Brugge, and I'm going to stick with that. What do we predict then? Score wise, quickly, Finlay,
I'm going to go 2-0 Celtic.
Mac.
Likewise, 2-0 Celtic.
All right, perfect. Hearts take on another team from. I'm not even saying it this time. They play Cercle Brugge or Bruges, whatever you want to say. Quickly for yourself, Mac. Thoughts and then prediction.
It's the same team come on that played in their qualifier this season. I think they just edged them out, but it's just the conference league's unpredictable. Hearts are still trying to build something. I think they might just struggle. I think they're going to get beat 1-0.
And for you, Finlay, same question.
Yeah, I think being the home side, I think Hearts have an advantage and they're playing well. Cercle Bruges, not the best team in Belgium, and I think maybe I should come away with a win here. I'm going to go 3-1. I want to see some goals.
Okay. Rangers last time out in Europe saw them get a vital draw in Piraeus against Olympiakos. Are they going to have such a nice evening in Nice, Finlay?
Shocking. I can't believe I've actually heard that. But I'm going to press on anyway. Yeah, but Nice are a good team. Like, it doesn't matter. They're just one of those teams that you always see in the kind of second tier of European competitions who always just sneak a result against someone. And away from home as well. I know Rangers have looked better in Europe than they have at home, but I expect a, I'm going to go 1-1 draw again for Rangers.
And what about yourself, Mac?
I will go 1-1 as well. I think Nice have had their struggles equally with Rangers, but Rangers just seem to turn up a bit extra in Europe. I predicted them to struggle with Olympiacos. They probably were the better team, so I'll go 1-1 again for this one.
All right, that is our European preview done. Now let's move on to the most anticipated part of the evening. With the quiz. Still trying to find a name for this. Not found anything today. But by next weekend we'll have a proper name for the quiz. Same rules apply as previous. It will be Finlay taking on Mac. 30 seconds on the clock. Answer each question as quickly as you can. If you don't know the answer, pass. I can only accept your first answer, but if you pass and there is time, we will come back to it. I am going to start with yourself, Mac. So I'm gonna get Findlay out of here and I'm going to get you sorted. All right, let me just get 30 seconds on the clock and we will start now. Scotland will take on which team in the Nations League
Guinness.
playoff? True or false, Dick Advocaat was the Rangers' first foreign manager.
True.
Which team plays their home games at Ockleview Park?
Stenhouse
Which country is Shota Arveladze from?
Georgia.
Name any current Scottish club whose names start and end with the same letter.
Celtic.
Which team is currently bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Airdrie.
Kevin Nisbet is on loan from which club?
Millwall.
And we are done.
Boom. I heard them brown there.
All right, perfect. Finlay is back with us. Finlay, you all right?
Yeah, I have the weird thing about being in the breakout room is I have no idea how that went. So, you know, fingers
Okay.
crossed.
I'm going to get 30 seconds on the clock now. Scotland will take on which nation in the Nations League
Greece.
playoff? True or false, Dick Advocaat was the first foreign Rangers manager.
True.
Which team plays their games at Ockleview Park?
Pass. I'm
Which country is Shota Arveladze from?
pass.
Did you say
That's a
pass?
Give me extra seconds for that.
Name any current Scottish club which names start and end with the same letter.
Oh. Celtic, sorry.
All right, we are out of time. I gave you a
Oh.
little bit too long to think on that, but yeah. All right, let's run through the answers. Scotland will face which team in their Nations League playoff in March? It is Greece. It's 1-1. True or false? Dick Advocaat was Rangers' first foreign manager. The answer is true. 2-2. Which team plays their home games at Ockleview Park? Stenhouse Muir, which makes it 3-2 to Mac.
Oh, and I've been there. Oh.
I was there a couple of weeks ago as well. Oh, fair enough.
Which country is Shota Avaladze from? It is Georgia, which makes it 4-2 to Mac.
Shot in the
Name
dark. Shot in the dark. I'm shagged.
any current Scottish club whose names start and end with the same letter. You both went Celtic. You could have had Kilmarnock, Dundee United, or East Fife. That makes it 5-3 to Mac. Am I right?
Convincing.
So
Yeah,
yeah,
five.
5-3.
Which team currently sits bottom of the Scottish Championship? It was Airdrieonians, which makes it 6-3 to Mac. Kevin Nisbet is on loan to Aberdeen from which club? Millwall. It is a 7-3
This still going?
to Mac. And because he got a 7, let's see if he can go on and get the full 10 that I have down here. This is great. This is what you want from a quiz. This is outstanding, Mac, defending champion. Absolute stunner. You should get this one. Henrik Larsson left Celtic to join which team?
Barcelona.
Correct. Who's got more Partick Thistle appearances, Chris Doolin or Stuart Brannigan?
This is just 50-50. Chris Dillon.
And that is where it stops. You
Oh, you're
got
kidding.
nine. You got eight, rather, because the answer was Stuart Brannigan. I think Chris Doolin is 402, but on 415, Stuart Brannigan. And
That was harsh. That was harsh.
that was hard. Do you know what? I will ask you both this final question. What was the name of the controversial FIFA World Cup ball for the 2010 World Cup in South Africa?
Jabulani. Jabulani. I got
Okay,
that one.
both got that. Fair. That was an outstanding effort, Max. So you got, let me just count it, 1, 2, 3, 4,
Couple more.
five, six, seven, and then technically nine, but for the course of the quiz, we stopped
Seven.
at seven. But it was a solid performance. I think that's as I don't think MD will get the perfect 10, but we wait to see. Finlay, commiserations. How are you feeling? Tough?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like I was set up. I feel like the delay in me starting the quiz didn't really have time to prepare in the way I would have wanted, but make no excuses. We'll be back next week.
We will be back next week. That wraps us up for today's episode of Scottish Football Covered. Thank you all for joining us as we recap all the weekend's action in the Scottish Premiership. And we will be back with you next Monday at 4 p.m. on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else where you get your podcasts from. Gents, it was a pleasure.